Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are continuing our study in the book of Genesis. We are in chapter 30 and beginning at verse 25. This is God's word. "After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way, for you know how much work I've done for you.' But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you.' He added, 'Name your wages, and I will pay them.' Jacob said to him, 'You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I've been. But now, when may I do something for my own household?' 'What shall I give you?' he asked. 'Don't give me anything,' Jacob replied. 'But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future whenever you check on the wages you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen.' 'Agreed,' said Laban. 'Let it be as you have said.' That same day, he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white strips on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, 'Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father.' And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you.' So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, 'I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats were mating. The male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah replied, do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him along with all the goods he had accumulated in Paddan Aram to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, crossing the river, and he headed for the hill country of Gilead. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
In Psalm 145 we read, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people. People who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Okay, basic Bible question. Who is good? In the New Testament, a man came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Only God is good. In the truest sense of the word, only God fits that definition. There are people who are good people compared to other people. But compared to God, there is none who is good. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are some people who are better swimmers than others. I am a lousy swimmer. One of the kids we sponsor overseas wrote to me and said, there are people who work with them, give them suggestions as to what to ask their sponsors. And so this child wrote to me from Indonesia and said, do you like swimming? And I wrote back and I said, I am a very poor swimmer. I do enjoy getting in the water, and even that is stretching it. But I love a good shower, but I'm just not a good swimmer. That is no secret to anyone who knows me. I'm not a good swimmer. I could tell stories about that, but I won't. Bottom line is, I'm a much better swimmer than some people who have never learned to swim. I can do better than that. I actually got the junior life-saving thing from the Red Cross, and that's just miraculous. But anyway, I got the merit badge in Boy Scouts for doing what you have to do in order to get that. But I'm just telling you, that doesn't mean I'm a good swimmer, because I compare myself not with kids who've never been in a pool. I compare myself with people who are actually good swimmers, okay? Like my wife, for instance. She's a good swimmer, but she's really not good compared to Michael Phelps, okay? Now, most of you kids have no idea who Michael Phelps is, but the adults will remember the Olympian, right? Okay? Michael Phelps, brilliant Olympic gold medalist. Absolutely fabulous. Comparatively speaking, Michael Phelps, great swimmer. My wife, swimmer. Me, shouldn't get in the water. Okay? If the three of us went to the beach and headed out for England, we're going to try and swim from Amelia Island, Florida, to England. People could stand on the beach and watch me drown. You understand? My wife might make it far enough out there, because she's a very determined person. She might make it far enough out there that you wouldn't be sure exactly when she went under. Michael Phelps might make it across the horizon. The horizon is roughly 10 miles out. He might make it across the horizon. But Michael Phelps would drown. If the choices are England or drown, we'd all three drown. If you went up in a plane and looked with GPS type tracking at where did these people drown, as long as you got high enough, you would see basically we all drowned just off the coast of Florida. Okay, it would look like I was still on the shore, but anyway. This is the way it is when we look at Scripture, at the stories of these people. Some of these people are just scoundrels, horrible, evil people. Some of them are not terrible, just not real good. Esau, for instance. Not a great guy, but not really a terrible guy. His brother Jacob is, you know, a deceitful fellow. Esau was irresponsible, despised his birthright. Shame on him. Jacob was a liar. In obedience to his mother, he flat out lied to his dad in order to get something for himself. That's worse in my book. But God went ahead and chose him before he was born and had done anything good or bad. Okay? But where's the good guy? When are we going to come to the good guy? Well, actually, he'll show up in the New Testament. The reason that Jesus said to the rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good?" is because the rich young ruler didn't understand that Jesus is God. Only God is good. Jesus, it turns out, is God. So Jesus is good. Everybody else in this book is a mess. All of us. We've all sinned, and we need to be honest with ourselves and with others about the fact that we need a Savior. Amen? So, in this story, Jacob, who is in one sense our hero in the story, is a very flawed guy. Laban is worse. Laban is a total scoundrel. When Jacob says, "I want to go home, I want to be able to start a new chapter in my life. I'm ready to go home." Laban says, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages and I'll pay them." Well, now, at this point, Jacob already knows he can't trust his father-in-law. Remember, his father-in-law is the one who stuck him with a wife he didn't want. Okay? Lied to him. Jacob was told, "If you'll work for me 7 years, then you can marry my daughter, Rachel. But when the 7 years was up, he didn't get Rachel. And he had to work another 7 years to be out of debt for what he'd already been promised if he worked 7 years. So he works 14 years instead of seven to get the wife he wanted. And meanwhile, he's picked up another wife along the way that he didn't want. And that creates all kinds of difficulty. But as we said last time, God actually used it for good. Doesn't mean what Laban did was good. It means God is good. And God uses all things done by all us messed up people in order to accomplish his purpose. God is that wise and that mighty. So, Laban says, I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Is it true that Laban was blessed because of Jacob? Yes. Does that mean it's okay to use divination in order to try and find stuff out? No. Divination is a bad thing. It's going to get explicitly forbidden later on, but we should know that this is not a good thing he's doing. So by divination, bad, I've learned that God has blessed me because of you. True. So name your wages and I'll pay them. Not true. Okay? As we read on, we find that 10 times Laban changed his wages, and Jacob was counting. Wouldn't you? Can't trust this guy, but the guy keeps doing it to him. Keeps jerking him around. Lies and lies and lies. When Jacob says, okay, here's what we'll do. I get all the speckled and striped and spotted, and you get the others. The others were the primo at that point. He says, I'll take the ones that are dinged up, okay? The ones that don't look as good. The ones where the wool is not going to be one color pure. I'll take them. Laban says, well, that's fair. Okay, we'll agree. And then immediately tells his sons, take all the ones that are speckled, spotted, and striped and get out of here. Take them with you, okay? So he's just stolen what he agreed to give to Jacob. And he puts himself 3 days' distance from where Jacob is tending his flocks. Imagine Jacob after you've made that deal and it's like, okay, ladies, we're going to be here a while longer. I'm going to be working for your dad a while longer. But the good news is from here on, all the speckled, spotted, and striped animals are going to belong to me. And then he goes out and where are all the spotted, speckled, and striped animals? They all disappeared. It wasn't the rapture. It was his villainous, deceitful father-in-law who stole them and went 3 days' distance away. And, of course, involved his sons in the theft. So Jacob hatches a plan. Jacob decides if an animal is looking at something while mating, that can change the outcome of what that thing looks like. They didn't know a lot about genetics back then, okay? Now, they did know that if strong, healthy animals breed, you're more likely to have strong, healthy offspring. And so Jacob's trying to manipulate that, okay? But he also thinks that by, you know, carving up these branches of several different types of trees and putting them in front of the watering troughs, he can fix it so that the animals, the strong animals, mate looking at that, and that influences what kind of offspring they have. Okay? So, Jacob has this plan. He has a technique. He works this thing in order to try and get what he wants. And it works! Ha! Isn't that amazing? So does this mean you can do it? No. Do you remember the mandrakes? We're going to use mandrakes in order to try and increase fertility. Doesn't work. But God blessed them with children. Well, likewise, God blessed Jacob by causing the flocks to give birth to the ones that were supposed to be Jacob's. God did that. And eventually, Jacob gave credit to God. In verse 43 of chapter 30, it says, "In this way the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks." How? Well, because God caused Jacob's plan to work. The weak animals went to Laban, the strong ones to Jacob. But here's what Jacob says in chapter 31. Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out of the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, "I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me." Verse 7, "God has not allowed him to harm me." Verse 9, "God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me." "I once had a dream," he says. Verse 10, "in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flocks were streaked, speckled, or spotted. And the angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob,' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. Why? Because I have seen," God says, "all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me." God says, "I've done this for you." And Jacob tells his wives, "God did this for us. The reason that my plan worked is because of God. God gave me success." Folks, that is the key lesson of this whole speckled and spotted and striped thing. God's the one who's in charge. When we look at this, we see the sovereignty of a God who graciously worked through the superstitious actions of his sinful, deceitful servant, Jacob, and rescued Jacob and his family from the deceitful, villainous behavior of his father-in-law. Now, before we leave it, we have to see that not only did he practice Laban, that is, practice divination, which is absolutely wrong, he also was an idolater. He believed in the Lord, but he had household gods, little idols. And I know some people who the Bible says their God is their stomach. I know a lot of people seem to be religious about their food or other things. But I'll tell you this, if you worship anything other than God, the God who is God, you're an idolater. And Rachel had grown up, as had Leah, in a house where there was a recognition that there is a God who is over all, but there are these other gods that are very handy. The Bible makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians 10 and elsewhere that an idol in and of itself is nothing. It's just a material piece of stone, wood, whatever. Nothing in and of itself. No power. But there are demons behind the idol. That's what 1 Corinthians 10 says. There are demons that are attached to those inanimate objects. And that's why we're not to have anything to do with idolatry. God alone is worthy of our worship. And it does note in God's inspired word that Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. Well, we can understand why he would. Oh, yeah. But deceit is not the best path. And we're going to see that over and over and over and over, deceit brings a bitter harvest.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.pastorwood.org.